We're reading together from Ephesians 3. For this reason, grasping the greatness of this plan by which Jews and Gentiles are joined together in Christ, I bow my knees in reverence before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, God the first and ultimate Father. May He grant you out of the riches of His glory to be strengthened and spiritually energized with power through His Spirit in your inner self, indwelling your innermost being and personality, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through your faith. And may you, having been deeply rooted and securely grounded in love, be fully capable of comprehending with all the saints, God's people, the width and length and height and depth of His love, fully experiencing that amazing, endless love, and that you may come to know practically through personal experience the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled up throughout your being to all the fullness of God, so that you may have the richest experience of God's presence in your lives, completely filled and flooded with God Himself. How do you deal with difficult situations? What do you do when a problem comes your way? Do you read as much as you can about it so that you can have enough knowledge to come to a conclusion? Or do you talk to people around you who are knowledgeable, who comprehends what you are going through, or someone who has been through the same thing, just to get some ideas of how to go about solving this issue? I remember my first aptitude tests in grade 9. When the psychometrician handed me a worksheet with prisms, I looked at the lines and shapes and realized I have a problem. Because I knew I could work out the formulas of triangles and squares and try and add them all together to solve the equation or problem. But to have an understanding and to comprehend what that 2D or 3D shape, what that would look like in real life. Honestly, engineering and architecture were not on the list of options for me after school. But I realized there that a formula sheet or the knowledge of maths and the knowledge about formulas wouldn't have been helpful. Because trying to implement my knowledge of maths doesn't mean I understand what this problem means. It doesn't mean I comprehend the different dimensions of the shape. And without comprehension and understanding, I will always struggle with those multidimensional shapes. Now, Paul writes a letter to the Christians. He is in prison and he's facing difficult circumstances, and so are the believers. And so he writes to them to not lose heart. He wants to encourage them. And it's very interesting. Paul doesn't give them a formula sheet to get through the challenges. And he can. He's been through so many experiences already. He's very wise. If there's someone who would have answers or guidance, it would be Paul. But no, he doesn't do that. Rather, he prays for them. And he prays for something very specific. He prays for an understanding. Not just a knowledge, but an understanding through experience. An understanding of what? Well, that we will understand the love of Christ. Now, the love of Christ is massive. the Greek word used for the love of God is, that word for love is agape. Agape love is the love that God has and feels towards us. It is the love that we see in Jesus Christ. And agape love is not so much rooted in desire, although it can include that. It's not rooted in bonds of friendship, although it certainly includes that. Agape love is rooted in the will. Agape love is what we see on the cross. It is God who tells us on the cross, I will love you faithfully to the end, no matter what, no matter what. That's agape love. And Paul writes about this love and he says, do you know that this agape love has dimensions? It is wide, meaning it includes anybody and everybody. No matter what nation you are from, no matter what tribe you are from, no matter what language you speak, no matter where you live, no matter if people think there's no hope for you, no matter how people might have given up on you, doesn't matter if someone has spoken the words to you that you're so far off the road, off the rails, you can't be saved. That is not true. Because God's love is so wide, nobody gets excluded. Nobody. This love is deep. And it doesn't matter what you've done, however deep you've fallen, God's love pulls you out. His love is so deep that he humbled himself and laid down his divinity to enter the depths of humanity. Philippians 2. He who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. No, rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. His love is so deep that he descended into hell. It is so deep that he himself experienced abandonment by God when he said on that cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's how deep his love went for you. It is so deep that the depths of depths cannot separate you from his love. His love will reach you no matter how far down you think you are. This love has height. It's so high, nothing can get over it. Nothing. No circumstance can limit it. No difficult circumstance can conquer this love. This love is so high that it surpasses even our own understanding, our own thinking about what is possible, our thoughts about who we are. His love is higher than those. It transcends those thoughts. Your discouragement with yourself, your certainty that God is writing you off, your low esteem, God's love is higher than that. God's love is higher than those thoughts that you think rule your life. The Lord loves you as much as he loves Jesus. God loves you more, just as much as he loves Jesus. Have you ever thought about that? Has anyone ever told you that the Father loves you as much as he loves Jesus Christ? In John 17, Jesus prays, Father, I pray that the world will know that you sent me and that you have loved them even as you have loved me. He loves you. And then this love has a length. It's long. The prophet Jeremiah says that God's love is everlasting. He loves us with an everlasting love. You know, everlasting and eternal means that it has no beginning and it has no end. And this means that if he doesn't have a beginning, it doesn't have to have a cause either. That's just how God loves you. You didn't do anything to deserve it. psalm writer says, I'll declare that your love stands firm forever and ever. There's no limit to God's love. There is a limit to human love. It can dry up, but God's love never ends. The person who loves you the most in your life, God loves you at least that much. It's continuous and eternal and infinite. It never ends. Now, Paul prays that we'll be rooted and grounded in this love. That's where you will grow when you are rooted and grounded. He prays that we'll have an understanding that we'll comprehend. Now, being rooted and grounded in this love means that that will also be where you will be fed from, where you will find life. He uses a metaphor of a seed. You are like a seed and your soil is love, and you must take root in love. That's where you draw your nourishment from. That's where you get your life from that love. And the only way that you can be rooted and grounded is if you can begin to grasp and comprehend it. The Greek word Paul uses here for comprehension is katalabestai, which means to be captured by. To grasp, to comprehend is to become completely absorbed. It's more than just seeing or just an understanding with the mind. It's to have insight. It's to be gripped by something. Luke also uses this Greek word in Acts 10:34 when he speaks of Peter's conversion. Now, Peter was a racist. Theoretically, he said, yes, God loves everyone and everything. Until he got the vision of the cloth falling from heaven and something happened to him. And he says, now I realize only now I realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. That word used for realize is the same katalabestai as in Paul's prayer. It's like Peter said, I knew this truth with my mind, but it didn't affect my life. It didn't really affect me. Now I get it. A while ago, I talked to someone who's going through a divorce. And this person says to me, you know, I've always told my friends who were going through this experience that I understand how hard it must be, but everything will be okay again. But now that I'm going through this myself, I truly understand. And I thought I knew, but I didn't have a clue. Actually, I feel quite ashamed for some of the things that I said to them because I didn't have an idea what they were experiencing. Now I know. Now I katalabestai. Another friend of mine said goodbye to her youngest who moved out of their home. She now has an empty nest. And she says she knew that it would be an adjustment. She knew things were going to be different. But until it happened, only now does she grasp or comprehend the impact of that empty nest on her life. Those experiences gripped them. It's deep inside of them. It's settled in their psyche and it lies in them. They experience katalabestai. And Paul says, that's what I pray will happen to you with the love of Jesus. That it will grip you, that you will be captured by his love so that you will be rooted and grounded in his love that reaches high, deep, long, wide. So how do I become rooted and grounded? How do I grow in this comprehension, katalabestai? Well, if Paul prays for it to happen, then so should we. You need to pray for that experience. Have you ever asked God to help you grasp and comprehend his love? You might think it's a strange prayer request, but that's how we enter into the fullness of Christ, to ask him, Lord, show me. I want to know. I want to be gripped. I want to be captured by your love. I want to comprehend it. The other thing that we see Paul says is that this love of God is something you have to experience. You have to experience on your own, but along with everyone else. This isn't an individual thing. It's not an isolated experience. Paul prays that we comprehend and grasp this love with the saints, with all the believers, all God's people. You can't do it on your own. You and I, you only know a dimension of God. I only know a dimension of God. I know something about God, but I don't know everything about God. You've only experienced something, and your last experience of God can be the biggest obstacle in the way forward, because we get stuck and expect that that is the only way that God works. But God says, no, there's so much more. Just look at how I work with others. Look and see and hear how great my love is. Look and see and hear how I make my love known to others, because then you will learn, then you will grow in comprehension. You know, when you look at the scriptures, you will see the many different ways God makes himself and his love known to people. He gives Mary tears. He gives Martha a lesson. To a religious guy, he says, you must be born again. And to a woman of another religion, the Samaritan woman, a conversation about true worship. After the resurrection, Mary has an existential experience with Jesus. John, a rational experience of Jesus. He saw the material in the grave, then he believed, he knew Jesus. Christ is risen. And then Thomas needed empirical proof. Each one of them different. One experienced the length of God's love. The other experienced the depth. This one, the width. The Lord works with everyone differently. And everyone's story is different about Jesus. No one can fully understand Jesus on their own. We grow in comprehension, grasping Jesus through other people, through the experience and understanding that they have. Each one brings something different, and that's why we need one another. I want to close today by inviting you to look at the cross. The cross is the symbol of the extent of God's love. It is high, it is deep, it is long, it is wide. And I don't know what you are experiencing today. I just know that some of us, some of my friends, my family, I know that they feel like they are a million miles away from God. And if that's you as well, look at the cross. I know some of us feel, I've made a mess of things. You might feel my life is over. Look at the cross. It's the place where forgiveness is found and where new beginnings start. Some of us are feeling alone, isolated, abandoned. Look at that cross, because the one who cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He's there. There's the one who knows, who understands, who grasps, who comprehends, and who has shared with us our abandonment and our isolation and our loneliness. Look at the cross. This is the width of God's personal love for you. This is the height of God's personal love for you. This is the depth of God's personal love for you. And this is the length of God's love for you. Lord, thank you that nothing can separate us from your love. And we pray and ask for you to help us grasp, understand, comprehend how deep, wide, long, far your love reaches us. We ask that you will help us to be rooted securely and grounded in this love. Lord, we confess that we find our rootedness and our groundedness in things in this world. And we ask you to forgive us. We ask you to help us see, grasp that that's not where we need to anchor ourselves, root ourselves. We want to be grounded in you, Lord, in your love. Have mercy on us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have a prayer request, please contact us at gebedsversoeke@mosaic.com and one of our team members will pray with you. Receive the blessing. The love of God our Father, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the peace of the Holy Spirit remain with us all. Amen. Amen.